For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
When I moved into the old house on Maple Street, I wasn't expecting anything out of the ordinary. It was a small, single-story place with chipped paint, but it had a certain charm to it. The kind of charm that made me think I could turn it into something special. The house had been on the market for a while, and I got it for a good price. The previous owner had passed away, and the family had been eager to sell it quickly. I didn't ask too many questions. It was a nice house in a nice neighborhood, and I thought it was a bargain. The first few days were a blur of unpacking and getting settled. There was something almost comforting about the old house, like it had been waiting for someone to come and breathe life into it again. The walls were thick, and the windows let in just enough light to make the place feel cozy, even during the colder, darker months. But there was one thing that nagged at me from the start. The front door. Every time I left the house, I made sure to lock the door. It was an old habit, something my dad had drilled into me from a young age. Always lock the door behind you, he'd say, even if you're just stepping out for a minute. So whenever I went out, I'd double-check the lock, making sure it was secure before heading on my way. But no matter how careful I was, I'd come back to find the door unlocked. The first time it happened, I thought I'd just forgotten. I'd been distracted, maybe focused on the long list of things I needed to get done. But it kept happening. Every single time I came back, the door would be unlocked. At first, I shrugged it off as an old lock that needed replacing. But after a week of this, I couldn't ignore it anymore. Something was wrong. One evening, after a long day of running errands, I came home with a bag of takeout, ready to crash on the couch and watch some TV. As usual, I double-checked the front door before leaving, making sure it was locked tight. But when I got back, the door was slightly ajar. My heart sank. I stood there for a moment, staring at the door, my mind racing through all the possibilities. Had someone been inside? Was I just being paranoid? I pushed the door open, the old hinges creaking. The house was quiet, almost too quiet, the kind of quiet that makes you feel like you're not alone. I stepped inside, setting the takeout on the kitchen counter, and did a quick check of the place. Everything seemed to be in order. Nothing was missing, nothing out of place. But the air felt different, heavier, like something was hanging in the atmosphere, just out of reach. As I was about to head to the living room, I heard a noise from the basement. It was faint, barely audible, but enough to make my skin crawl. A soft, rhythmic, creaking sound, like wood rubbing against wood. I hesitated at the top of the basement stairs, my hand hovering over the light switch. I didn't want to go down there. The basement was the one part of the house I hadn't fully explored. It was cold and damp, with low ceilings and exposed pipes that made it feel more like a dungeon than a storage space. But the sound persisted, and I knew I couldn't ignore it. I flicked on the light, and the bare bulb cast a dim, yellowish glow over the stairs. The creaking grew louder as I descended, each step sending a shiver down my spine. When I reached the bottom, I saw it. In the corner of the basement, half covered in shadows, was a rocking chair. It was old, with peeling paint and a sagging seat, but it was unmistakable. My heart skipped a beat as I recognized it. It was identical to a chair I had thrown out before moving in. I stared at it, trying to make sense of what I was seeing. How had it gotten here? Who had brought it into the house? And why was it rocking ever so slightly back and forth? My hands were shaking as I reached out to touch it, but as soon as my fingers brushed against the wood, the chair stopped moving. The basement fell silent, the air thick with the smell of mildew and something else, something sweet and sickly like old perfume. I backed away, my heart pounding in my chest, and hurried up the stairs, slamming the door behind me. I didn't go back down there that night. Instead, I locked every door and window, double-checked the locks, and tried to convince myself that I was overreacting. But deep down, I knew something was wrong. That night, I couldn't sleep. Every time I closed my eyes, I saw the chair rocking back and forth in the corner of the basement. I tossed and turned, the unease gnawing at me until finally I drifted off into a restless sleep. It must have been the middle of the night when I woke up to the sound of creaking. My eyes snapped open, and for a moment I was disoriented, unsure of where I was. But then I heard it again, the unmistakable sound of wood rubbing against wood, coming from the basement. I sat up in bed, my heart racing. The house was dark, the only light coming from the moon filtered.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Entering through the curtains. The sound was faint, but it was there, steady and rhythmic. I didn't want to go down there and didn't want to face whatever was making that noise. But I knew I couldn't ignore it. Not this time. I grabbed my phone, the small screen casting a weak light as I made my way down the hall. My hand trembled as I reached for the basement door, every instinct screaming at me to turn back. But I opened the door. The creaking was louder now, echoing up the stairs, each sound making my heart skip a beat. I took a deep breath, trying to steady myself, and slowly made my way down the stairs. The basement was cold, damp, and eerily silent. The chair was still in the corner, exactly where I had seen it before. But this time, it wasn't empty. There, sitting in the chair, was an old woman. Her skin was pale and wrinkled, her hair thin and gray, pulled back into a tight bun. She wore a faded dress that looked like it belonged to another era, and her hands were folded neatly in her lap. But it was her eyes that terrified me the most. Cloudy, vacant, staring straight ahead, as if she didn't see me at all. The chair rocked back and forth, the rhythmic creaking filling the air. She didn't move, didn't acknowledge me in any way. She just sat there, her gaze fixed on some point in the distance. I couldn't move, couldn't breathe. I was frozen in place, my mind screaming at me to run, to get out of there, but my body refused to obey. And then, slowly, she turned her head. Her eyes locked onto mine, and I felt a cold wave of fear wash over me. Her mouth moved, her lips parting slightly, as if she was trying to say something, but no sound came out. For what felt like an eternity, we just stared at each other. The creaking of the chair, the only sound in the basement. And then the rocking stopped. The basement fell silent, the air thick with tension. I blinked, and when I opened my eyes, the chair was empty. The old woman was gone. I ran up the stairs, my heart pounding in my chest, and locked the basement door behind me. I didn't go back to bed that night. Instead, I sat in the living room, my mind racing, trying to make sense of what had just happened. But there was no explanation, no rational way to understand what I had seen. All I knew was that the house wasn't empty, not anymore. The next morning, I was exhausted, my mind clouded with fear and confusion. I knew I couldn't stay in the house, but I didn't know where to go. I felt trapped, like I was being watched, even in the daylight. I decided to do some research, hoping to find some answers. I started with the previous owner, trying to learn more about who had lived in the house before me. It didn't take long to find out. The name was right there on the deed. Eleanor Martin. She had lived in the house for over 50 years, a widow who had raised her children there and stayed long after they had moved away. She had died in the house alone, and her children had sold it soon after. The more I learned about her, the more the pieces started to fall into place. The rocking chair had been hers, a gift from her late husband. It had been her favorite spot where she would sit for hours, knitting or reading, long after the house had emptied out. I contacted the previous owner's son, hoping he could shed some light on what was happening. He was hesitant to talk at first, but eventually he opened up. "My mother loved that chair," he said, his voice tinged with sadness. "She spent most of her days in it, even after she got sick. We tried to get rid of it after she passed, but every time we did, it would end up back in the house. We didn't know what to do, so we just left it in the basement." I felt a chill run down my spine as he spoke, the pieces clicking together in my mind. The chair hadn't been brought into the house. It had always been there, waiting. Waiting for her. That night, I knew I had to confront whatever was in the house. I couldn't live like this. Couldn't go on feeling like a prisoner in my own home. I had to face it, no matter how terrified I was. I waited until it was dark, until the house was silent, and then I made my way to the basement. The fear was almost overwhelming, but I forced myself to keep going, one step at a time. When I reached the bottom of the stairs, the chair was there, just as I had expected. It was empty, but the air around it felt charged, like something was waiting. I took a deep breath and stepped closer, my heart pounding in my chest. The chair remained still, the room silent, but I could feel her presence like a cold breath on the back of my neck. And then I spoke. "Eleanor," I said, my voice trembling. "If you're here, I want you to know that this is your home. You don't have to leave. But please, don't scare me. I'm just trying to live here, just like you did." For a moment, nothing happened. The chair remained still, the room silent, but I could feel her presence, like a cold breath on the back of my neck. I stepped back, my breath catching in my throat. The chair rocked back and forth, the creaking sound filling the room, but this time it didn't feel threatening. It felt peaceful. The room grew colder, the air thickening with the scent of old perfume, and I knew she was there. But this time I wasn't afraid. I watched the chair rock for a few minutes, my fear slowly ebbing away. And then, as suddenly as it had started, the rocking stopped. The basement fell silent, and I felt a sense of calm wash over me. I knew, in that moment, that Eleanor was at peace. The next day, I moved the chair out of the basement and into the living room, placing it by the window where the sunlight could reach it. I never saw the old woman again, but sometimes, when the house is quiet and the wind is still, I hear the faint sound of the chair creaking, rocking back and forth. And I know that Eleanor is still there, watching over her home, just like she always did. When I first bought the house, I was filled with a sense of pride and excitement. It was my first home, a small place that had been on the market for a while. It needed some work. Nothing too major, just a few repairs and a fresh coat of paint. But that didn't bother me. I was ready to make it my own, to turn it into a space that felt like mine. The house was everything I had been looking for. It had character, history, and enough space for all the things I'd collected over the years. The previous owners had left some furniture behind, old pieces that added to the home's antique charm. There was an attic too, which I planned to use for storage once I had gone through all the boxes I had brought with me. The first few days were a whirlwind of unpacking and organizing. I spent most of my time downstairs, getting the kitchen and living room set up, and only ventured into the attic to drop off boxes of things I didn't need right away. The attic was a large, dusty space with exposed beams and a single small window that let in just enough light to see by during the day. It was cluttered with old furniture, paintings, and other odds and ends that the previous owners hadn't bothered to take with them. I didn't think much of it at first. The attic was just another part of the house, and I was too focused on getting everything else in order to worry about it. But that changed on the third night. It started with a noise. I was lying in bed, trying to fall asleep, when I heard it. A faint scratching sound coming from above. It was so quiet I thought I was imagining it. But as I lay there, straining to listen, the sound grew louder, more distinct. It was coming from the attic. I sat up in bed, my heart starting to race. I told myself it was probably just a rat or some other small animal that had found its way inside. Old houses like this were bound to have pests, and I hadn't had a chance to check the attic thoroughly yet. But there was something about the sound that made my skin crawl. Something that didn't feel right. I tried to ignore it, to tell myself it was nothing, but the noise continued, persistent and unrelenting. I knew I wouldn't be able to sleep unless I checked it out, so I reluctantly got out of bed and grabbed a flashlight. The house was eerily silent as I made my way to the attic stairs, the only sound the creaking of the floorboards beneath my feet. When I reached the door, I hesitated, my hand hovering over the doorknob. Part of me wanted to turn around, to go back to bed and pretend I hadn't heard anything, but I knew I couldn't. I opened the door and the scratching sound grew louder, echoing down the stairs. My heart was pounding in my chest as I climbed the narrow steps, the beam of my flashlight cutting through the darkness. When I reached the top, I shone the light around the attic, searching for the source of the noise. But the scratching continued. I followed the sound, weaving my way through the maze of boxes and furniture until I reached the far corner of the attic. There, hidden behind a stack of old paintings, was a small wooden door I hadn't noticed before. The door was old, the wood warped and splintered, and it looked like it hadn't been opened in years. The scratching sound was coming from behind it, faint but insistent, like something was trying to get out. I reached for the doorknob, my hand trembling, and slowly turned it. The door creaked open, revealing a dark, narrow passageway that led to a small, hidden room. My flashlight flickered, the beam casting long shadows across the floor as I stepped inside. The room was small, barely big enough to stand in, and the walls were lined with old, faded wallpaper. The air was thick and musty, the smell almost overpowering. In the center of the room was a single, small bed, the sheets tattered and stained with age. But what caught my attention was the figure sitting on the bed. It was a woman, her skin pale and sickly, her hair matted and unkempt. She was hunched over, her back to me, and she was scratching at the wall, her fingers digging into the plaster. My breath caught in my throat, and I felt a wave of nausea wash over me. This wasn't just an animal or a figment of my imagination. This was real. I wanted to run, but I was unable to tear my eyes away from the figure in front of me. And then she turned around. Her eyes were wild, filled with a madness that sent a jolt of terror through me. Her face was gaunt, her cheeks hollow, and her lips were cracked and dry. Her eyes were wide, unblinking, and filled with a desperation that made my blood run cold. She stared at me for a moment, her chest heaving as if she was struggling to breathe, and then, without warning, she lunged at me. I stumbled back, barely managing to dodge her as she clawed at the air, her fingers twisted and gnarled. She was screaming, a high-pitched, inhuman sound that echoed through the attic, filling the space with a sense of pure, unbridled terror. I turned and ran, my heart pounding in my chest as I raced down the stairs, her screams still ringing in my ears. I didn't stop until I reached the front door, my hands shaking as I fumbled with the lock. When I finally got the door open, I ran outside, the cold night air hitting me like a slap in the face. I kept running until I was halfway down the street, my breath coming in ragged gasps, my mind reeling with what I had just seen. I didn't go back inside that night. I couldn't. Instead, I sat in my car, staring at the house, trying to make sense of what had just happened. The woman in the attic, who was she? How long had she been there? And why hadn't I noticed the hidden room before? I didn't have any answers, but I knew one thing for sure. I couldn't stay in that house. The next morning, I called the police. I didn't know how to explain what had happened, but I knew I couldn't go back into the house alone. When the officers arrived, I led them to the attic, my heart pounding in my chest as we climbed the stairs. The house was eerily silent, the only sound the creaking of the floorboards beneath our feet. I pointed out the hidden door, my hands trembling as I explained what I had seen. The officers exchanged a glance, their expressions skeptical, but they didn't say anything. They opened the door, their flashlights cutting through the darkness as they stepped inside. The room was just as I had left it, small, cramped, and filled with the smell of decay. But the woman was gone. The bed was empty, the sheets still tattered and stained, but there was no sign of her. The officers searched the room, checking every corner, but there was nothing there. They didn't find any evidence of someone living in the attic, no sign that the woman had ever been there. They told me it was probably just a squatter, someone who had broken into the house and then fled when they realized I had moved in. But I knew that wasn't true. The woman I had seen wasn't just a squatter. There was something wrong with her, something that couldn't be explained by logic or reason. The police left after a few hours, telling me to call if I saw anything else unusual, but I could tell they didn't believe me. They thought I was just a nervous new homeowner, spooked by the old house and its creaks and groans. But I knew what I had seen, and I knew that she was still out there, somewhere. I tried to stay in the house after that, tried to convince myself that it was all in my head, that the woman in the attic was just a figment of my imagination, but the fear never went away. Every night I would lie in bed, straining to hear the slightest noise, the faintest scratch. The house was silent, but I could feel her presence, like a shadow lurking just out of sight. I started having nightmares. Vivid, terrifying dreams where I was trapped in the attic, the woman's twisted face inches from mine, her hands clawing at my skin. I would wake up drenched in sweat, my heart pounding, the fear so real that I could still feel it long after I had woken up. I knew I couldn't stay in the house any longer. The fear was too much, the sense of dread too overwhelming. I packed up my things, leaving most of it behind, and moved out within a week. I never went back. I don't know what happened to the woman in the attic or how long she had been there. Maybe she was a ghost, or maybe she was something else, something that defied explanation. But whatever she was, I hoped she was gone. But sometimes, late at night, when I'm lying in bed, I can still hear the faint sound of scratching, the soft creak of a door opening. And I wonder, just for a moment, if she's still out there, waiting for someone else to find her.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.